good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know. God is on the move today.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another Sunday Night Live. You know, God is on the move. And not only is He on the move in Wheeler, Texas, and in the USA, but He's on the move and has been on the move in El Salvador. And last week, we had Aaron and Sonia Mercer share a little bit about their mission trip to El Salvador. But I'm so excited to have the Angeli family with me tonight. And I just want to say hello, everybody. We're at the round table here.
Hello.
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 We're glad to be here.
Yes, we're glad you guys are here. And, one of the things that I talked about with Aaron and Sonia, what a great opportunity that Cornerstone was able to take a team of people to El Salvador to a missions trip. But as I was thinking about it, and of course there's so many things that has happened, you know, that we probably can't talk about all of them in each person that went, because there was like 19 mm-hmm. of you guys, wasn't that right?
Yeah, 19.
Yeah. And so, but I just kind of wondered, you know, because the Angelis are here, we've got Kim and Gage and Rance and Riley and, did I say it right?
Ryder.
Riley. He looks like a Riley.
He does look like a Riley. I thought, that ain't right. Riley's not right. And Braxton. So, hey, I'm sorry for that, Ryder. Would you forgive me? All right, I appreciate it, because, you know, I make mistakes, too. But anyway, we have the whole family here, and I know out of the team of 19, this was the full family that went together yes. on this trip. And so I just want to start out by asking you guys, is this your first trip on a missions trip? And what were you guys expecting before you ever went? What were you thinking before you ever went on this missions trip?
Well, I'll start off and say that Kim and I, look back time-wise, it's probably been 10 years ago that it came on us that we were wanting to do a missions trip, but we really wanted it to be a family-oriented. We wanted to experience it with our kids. And so we looked into one or two deals, and it never didn't really come to fruition on that until... And then prayed about it, and of course God's timing, you know, He blessed us with right. perfect timing and the perfect trip and the perfect age for all the kids and a perfect group. And it really was, couldn't ask for a better blessing on a family trip. For our first one, Kim and I hadn't gone, and certainly the kids had not gone, but for our first one, you couldn't ask for a better trip for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. And as far as what we were going to expect, I don't think any of us had any idea what to expect. We didn't have a lot of information going into it, which could have definitely been an added bonus and blessing, so you don't overthink it, you know, over-prepare. So, Ryder, what was it that Pastor Sergio told you at the beginning of the trip?
Expect the unexpected.
And that is exactly, we weren't expecting the unexpected, but then we didn't know what to expect. And when we got there, Pastor Sergio told everybody, and he kept finding Ryder and Rance, expect the unexpected. And unexpected was definitely seen, but it was awesome.
All right, so this is, you think it was unexpected, but what about you? You three over here, was it unexpected? Did you have any unexpected things happen for you guys?
For sure. Yeah, I'm like, Mom, I had no idea what to expect, and I kind of tried not to think. I mean, I obviously thought about it, but I didn't want to, like, think too much into it, because then I didn't want to just stress myself out, but it turned out really good. So.
Yeah.
No, I'm the same way. I'm kind of like Mom said, I didn't know what to expect, but I'm glad we all got to go together. It wasn't like just two of us could go or just three of us could go. I'm glad we all got to go as a family. It was really cool.
Yeah. How about you, Ryder? Was it something you expected? What were you thinking about this whole missions trip? Were you excited about it?
Yeah, I mean, I was excited, but I was also kind of nervous because I thought we were going to have to live in the jungle.
And in a tent or out on the ground.
Yeah. Living in
jungles. Sleeping huts.
And had to eat, like, kill our own food or something. So it was a little bit different.
So you didn't have to eat bugs?
No, not this time.
Not this time.
Well, that's good. That's good.
You know, it makes me think about, you know, when someone tells you about a really good movie and like, oh, this movie is so good, you're going to love it. And then you go and watch it and you're like, oh, that's not near as good as I thought it was going to be. And mm-hmm. So that's how it makes me think, is it's good not really knowing what you're going into.
Yeah.
And then that expectation is expect the unexpected.
Yeah.
And God can really move within that expectation.
So good.
So what, as far as the trip goes, what really stands out to you guys the most?
Well, the first day we were there, Wally was kind of the missions leader. You know, the leader, that missionary that was there. And he sure reiterated and told us, he said, you know, everybody comes, and I know all y'all have come to bless somebody else, to reach out and sure be a blessing to somebody. But he said, I'm here to tell you, if you'll be open, you're going to be blessed tenfold than what anything you're going to be able to do for somebody else. And so that was very true. You know, you go thinking, and certainly there was lots of blessings, and we watched God's hand move in so many ways. But just the blessing of the people that you think you're there to pray for, it was undeniable, the blessings that were just poured back certainly on me and our family, and then all the other group. You know, we had talks about that, on just how amazing the blessings on us were, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, so my favorite, like the biggest thing, or my favorite thing, was on night one, the first service we went to, until night two, or day two, and then we did the next thing. And like Gabe said, day three, we went to the orphanage. So every day just became our greatest thing that we were there. Like for me, I don't know. Every day I just was like, oh no, this is the best thing. And then now night one was a little, we were like, you know, you're just a little more not skeptical about what's happening. Just like you're in a foreign country. Everybody's told you, oh, it could be dangerous. So night one, I had some tension. And then not to mention, so we don't know where we're at. We don't know how it goes. And then we got on a bus. And we drove for 444 miles, it felt like.
Oh, wow.
It was a long ride. And it probably was because, you know, we had some anticipation and some tension just trying to figure it out. And we drove for a long, long while. And so I could have, and I almost did, let fear start building in my mind. Now, there was no, like, actual physical concern of fear. No reality of real fear, but in my mind, you know, I could have grown like, we've been riding for a long while. Where are we going?
In the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
Where
I could not get us out of here if I needed to. And then, just out of nowhere, you know, they said we're going to church service, but now I'm starting to think, are we? Are we really headed to church? But then out of nowhere, I just heard, you could hear them worshiping, you know, as we got a little closer. Oh, you could just hear the worship music going. And then I was like, all right, you know, we're with God. I mean, not that we were ever without him, but I was like, yeah, we're good.
Yeah, you're good. You're so, all right, Rance, you're over here shaking your head. So what happened for you on that first night? Were you freaking out a little bit too?
Yeah, it was crazy. The first night was like the hardest night. And it was the first night we were there. We had to pray for some weird stuff. it was cool.
And so I know one of the things that Aaron and Sonia had said, that when you got there on the first day, you guys actually went through training. Mm-hmm. And so, had you guys ever experienced any kind of training like that?
No.
No. Definitely not.
Well, actually,
if you guys would remember, well, Ramsey won't remember because you weren't here, and Braxton, you didn't go, but at church camp, you'll remember.
It's all on you.
At church camp, we did a little bit of a drill training kind of, what am I looking for? Anyhow, and we did...
practice.
Practice. We did it at church camp, and it was pretty cool, but it was the only thing I'd ever seen like that until the training that morning.
And so with that training, were you guys just like, oh my goodness, this is the first day? What were y'all thinking about this training?
The training kind of felt like if we wouldn't have done that, then it would have not been good. And then it was kind of confusing. And then all of a sudden they just were like, all right, we're going to church service. Now do what we just taught you or whatever. So it was kind of nerve-wracking.
Tell her about what was like one of the practice things we did. What we had
today. Which one of the practice things kind of stood out to you the most?
There was one that kind of stood out to me the most in like a weird way, because we had to tell people like in our group what animal they reminded us of, so that was kind of weird.
We had to pray about animal, like what animal they were.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah.
So, but did you feel like that you, when you were praying for that person, do you feel like God showed you, or there was a thing that came up in your mind of what animal? Did you feel like you were able to do that?
I mean, yeah, it's harder with the people you know. It was a lot harder because you're with them and so you're like...
You're like, you really know their personality.
I don't know what to say because I'm not going to get made fun of like 10 minutes in this training's over.
Yeah, right.
But it was, yeah, I mean, the animal thing made sense. It all made sense. It was just like out of the comfort zone for sure.
Well, and isn't that what it is? Isn't that what serving God is all about?
It is, and I had put on, we'd had some podcasts and stuff we'd listened to and told us kind of the way Wally and his missions had kind of worked through. And I had kind of built up some anxiety in my mind thinking, oh, I don't know how to pray for this. And what I really loved about the training was I had built up in my big mind that it had to be all these holy words and all this, you know, and feeling really overthinking it and overspeaking it. And I was so relieved at the simplicity of, you don't have to put all that in there. You have to be quiet and listen to what God wants you to say. But most of the time, that's not a big, long, drawn-out 10-minute speech. You know, mm-hmm. It just is. So it was really, for me, it was a great relief and made us feel a lot better on just the simplicity of it. That we didn't have to just say what God's telling you, and it doesn't have to be long. It just speak what truth is coming, and that was really nice on that part of it. And the training was wonderful, but like the kids saying, you are nervous, you get your training, and then you're like, okay, go do it.
Here you go.
And
you got your hours in, now go.
Exactly.
And I have to say, with that one, I laughed at my own self so much because they randomly paired you up with people. And then they would say, like, this line, move two seats and go, you know, like you shuffle the line. And two of the people I got with were probably what I would call two of the heaviest hitters in our group for the Lord. And so I'm like, you got to be kidding me, Lord. I don't really want to have a prophetic encouragement or a prophetic spirit animal for this person because they know what they're doing and I do not. But anyhow, I got Pastor Sergio.
Well, I was going to say, please share, because I think I know a little bit about this story. I think our listeners will enjoy this.
I got Pastor Sergio, and so I got in front of him, and we prayed and said, you know, like, just, Lord, what animal would I relate to Sergio?
And a little background on Pastor Sergio. This guy is Jesus' mascot. This guy he is the real deal. He is, I mean, the love of the people, it is uncontainable. It just pours out of him
everywhere
he goes, and he cannot contain it, and he will not contain it. So that does kind of put you in like, how can I sit across from this guy? I mean, this guy is...
And thank you for saying that, because it will be beneficial to make me not look quite so crazy. So I'm like, oh man, okay. So we bow our heads and I start praying, and then instantly God revealed something to me, you know, like in my mind of an animal that I would think of Sergio, that he, you know, that would I could tell him about. And literally I was like, no, Lord, I'm not going to say that out loud. And so,
no, thank you. I decline.
I'm not Jesus. And so I even chuckled and I said, hang on. And I had my eyes closed. Both of us had our eyes closed and we were looking down and I said, hang on, Sergio, just one more second. And so I re-brayed the same, like, come on, Lord, come on, show me an animal. And, you know, there's a trillion animals and not one of them would come to my mind. Except for the one that had come the first time, which was a squirrel. And I was like, no, I do not want to tell Pastor Sergio he's a squirrel. So anyhow, I ended up saying, Pastor Sergio, I'm sorry, but the animal that I think is most like you is a squirrel. And then I went into, because he is just like bouncing around all over the place about Jesus, and everywhere he goes the gospel just dumps out of him. And so it was right on, I think, but I just didn't want to tell Sergio he was a squirrel. Then I moved to the next seat and I had Zanya Mercer, and I thought, okay, here we go again. And the first thing that came to my mind, I was like, gosh, you do not want to tell one of your best buddies that she is an elephant, like the largest animal on the planet. Like, and she's tiny.
Yes.
And so anyhow, but it was because I felt like the Lord was telling me she is full of power and strength, and that everywhere she steps, people know it, and that she just comes with the Lord so mightily. So anyhow,
it was fitting as well.
It was, but I mean, it was weird. Like Rent said, it was a little like, it's just odd, just out of our comfort zone.
And so, yeah. And so, would you feel that way too, Braxton? Would you feel like it was pretty much out of your comfort zone?
Yeah, I think the training might have been the hardest part of the whole trip for me. Because it was weird going to the churches and praying for people and stuff that you've never seen. You don't even understand what they're saying. You have to have a translator and stuff. But doing it with the people that you know good and you spend the whole week with was way harder because, well, for me, I just, like, started overthinking it, and I'm like, what sounds better instead of what I actually heard, and so it was hard, but, I mean, it was good, I guess, to listen to the Holy Spirit.
Well, do you think that because you guys, especially you guys, because I know you are going, you know, you're your parents, they're the youth pastors here at Cornerstone, and you guys have to go right along with them and do all those things. But do you think that by going on this trip has helped you with ministering to others and kind of did any kind of thing with your relationship with God?
Yeah, I think so for me because, I mean, it's not that it's easier when you're older or when you're younger, but I just feel like most for young people, you don't want to be the one to like get made fun of and stuff or whatever. But just going and seeing like real proof that God, he hears you and he's listening to you, and it's just really encouraging. So you can come home and do it here too. So.
And bring it home with you. Yeah. How about you, Rance?
Yeah, I mean, Braxton kind of summed it up, but I think just the more you do it, obviously the better you're going to get. So, I mean, that was just good practice, and I mean, it was a great deal to go do, but I feel like that made it a little bit easier to come home and be able to do it to, I mean, be able to speak to people you actually know and you, like, know their story and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you, what about you? Are you game? Are you going to do this, Ryder? What do you think about all that?
I think it's kind of like, at the age, that some of the stuff you hear is kind of hard to believe, like, is that actually true? But then when you go and see stuff like that, what happened there kind of makes you believe, like, that's definitely true.
That God is God. And that he can do, and then that you can hear his voice.
Mm-hmm.
You hear his voice, and he does lead you and work through you guys.
Yeah. And I suspect, I mean, this is just off, not even a question that you've asked, but I just talking with and listening to my kids, I suspect they've been hearing God's voice all along, and we've recognized that too, but when they got there and experienced on their own how I think it was just so obvious, like, oh, yeah, of course, I have been hearing him, but I've made it tougher than, you know, Ryder shaking, like, I've made it tougher than it was. I've been hearing him all along, but there was, you actually got to, they got to see it and put it together there. Because here it's like, you know, everybody's like, well, how do you know? How do you know? And that's a normal question for kids. Like, how do I know that what I'm hearing is from God? How do I? And so it's very difficult to explain to young people how. With time it comes, but they got to see it.
Experience.
Yeah,
it. Yeah.
Experience and see it firsthand for themselves. And when Ryder was saying that, that's what made me think. I think it just clicked, and it's like, I have been hearing it all along.
So, oh, that's the voice I've been hearing. That's the voice of God. Yeah, that's good. So, okay, the Monday night, and now you were saying that one of the most of the things that stood out to you the most was the next day. You look forward to the next day. So would you say that every day was different in its own? But that's kind of what I'm under, you know, what I interpret from what you're saying is each day was just different. I mean, it was just like, expect the unexpected. It was, would you say every day was pretty much unexpected?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, every day.
Every day?
Every day.
It got more exciting as we realized, who knows what we're going to see? You know, like, who knows where we're going to go, what place we're going to get to see, like, physically, and then also what we're going to get to see God do. And, you know, they laughed and joked about our free day, you know, was like a fun day and we got to do fun stuff. And they said, the people, the pastors that we were under there, are like, hey, it's going to be a fun and a great day, but the truth is it's going to be the most boring day you have. And it kind of was. Like, I mean, we had fun and it was great and cool. I mean, we had an extra thing that made it really cool. But as far as what we had been seeing and then excitement building of what we got to see God do,
absolutely. And your confidence builds. I watched it in me, and I certainly saw it in all three kids. Your confidence builds yourself,
and
so you're more bold to, you know, to for people when they come up, you're more bold and more and kind of in the zone, you know, to take it to that level. And so each day that builds, and then you can look back and saw what God did the service before, the day before, and you're like, yeah, let's go get this. Let's do this again. Let's see the next big thing. And he showed up and showed out. I mean, it was every day, everything we went to.
Yeah.
And it really was. And all of us sat there, and we were like, okay, let's go on to the, I'm ready to see the next thing.
Let's
see the next big thing he's
going to
do. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So you said you were really worried about living out in the jungle, having to stay in the jungle. I laugh because that's what I envisioned too. I didn't get to go, but that's what I thought, oh man, where are these people going to stay? Do they even have facilities? So, what kind of facilities did you guys stay in? Was it the jungle?
It was not the jungle.
No, it was not the jungle at all.
It was a nice motel
that we stayed in.
Yeah,
super cool.
It wasn't like a Baymont or a Holiday Inn. Not like that, but it's more like a hacienda style, and we actually loved it. Like, everybody loved it. It's an open courtyard, and it was really great. Yeah, I mean, it was an awesome, just like Braxton said, individual rooms, open courtyard everywhere, and it was cool. We liked it.
So, you know, one of the things that you guys said, and I think this is funny because I went to Israel, and, you know, people say you better watch out. It could be dangerous. You know, there's things, you know, going on over there. And so I envision when you are in El Salvador, are you guys seeing like these armed soldiers everywhere? Are you seeing any of this violence that's going on that caused you guys any fear?
It was a big concern. As a parent, you know, and taking your kids, that was a big concern. But the government over there has taken tremendous steps in the last 5 or 6 years. And there were armed guards and all that. But I can't say one time did we ever feel unsafe. Uncertain, you know, because you're going into a new place. But I never felt unsafe on any of that deal. So that was a wonderful blessing, I can say, for me, because that was something that took off my mind where we could focus more. You know, the devil didn't have that hold on us. Right, where we could focus more on what God had planned for us, for sure.
How about you guys? What, were you a little bit scared, or you're like, Dad's got this. God's got this.
I wasn't really that scared. I mean, we've been lots of places that are probably worse than El Salvador. not like bad, but I'm just saying, I wasn't thinking about that when we were headed down there.
I didn't really, it never bothered me.
You know, Presley, what about you, Ryder? That's good. It happens when you get older. You think about more things that you normally wouldn't think about when you're younger.
Yeah, I thought about it a lot when we first got there. And, two, you hear, like, which I know the devil's out to already rob joy and peace that we had previous the trip. But I'd be in the barber shop, and somebody would say, "Oh, where are you going next week? I saw you're going to be closed." And then we'd say, "We're going to El Salvador on this mission trip." And several of my customers were like, "You be careful. That's the most dangerous place in the world." And, I mean, maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago, it probably would have been right up there. But we didn't see any dangerous. I mean, I never, after we got there and after my attention laid down, there was no, like, reality danger.
See, that was the same thing when I went to Israel. And when people found out that Sonia and I were going, they would be like, "Oh, you better watch out. You better really, you know." And it was the same way. But don't you think that when God sends us out, it doesn't matter what's going on around you, you're going to be protected.
Amen.
We don't have to walk in fear, because we don't have to fear man and what man can do to us, but only fear what can happen to us eternally.
Absolutely.
So, okay, we're just getting into just day one and two here. So what are some of the things that you guys did while you were, I mean, I know you went to services in the evenings, but what are some of the other things that you guys got to do while you were there to be around the people in El Salvador?
We went to two orphanages, which were pretty cool. We spent like a full day at one of them and then just an afternoon at one of them. The orphanage was really cool. That was one of my favorite parts of the trip.
So at the orphanage, what are some of the things that you guys did?
We just hung out with the kids, and we brought lots of soccer balls, and we played soccer, and we just hung out with the kids and just were there all day with them.
And do you guys think that the kids were excited for you guys to be there, or how did they kind of respond to you guys?
The kids seemed super happy. I mean, they seemed happy when you got there. They seemed happy when you left. I don't think it was a bad place at all. They seemed happy. They seemed happy every time we were there.
That's good.
Yeah, it was really good. I really enjoyed both of the days we got to spend with the kids, and I think they were happy to see us. I mean, there were several of them that ran up to the bus when we got there and tried to help us, like, carry stuff in and show us around and everything. And
how sweet is that?
It was super sweet.
Yeah, yeah. It was.
It was good.
Then it was equally as hard, though, because when we left, they were still at the bus waving bye.
And then you're like, "I don't want to leave."
Yes, we didn't want to leave. And so many of them were like, "Okay, we'll see you next year." I mean, they were making plans to, "You are coming back, right?"
To be back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Leaving them was really hard, but it was fun while we were there. So.
Yeah, we would kind of, all of us get on the bus afterwards, and it would just be a moment that everybody is just kind of processing and like, I was just trying to not just be like, and just cry, leaving, because it was tough.
Mm-hmm.
It was really tough. I would say at one of the orphanages we went to, a super hit, if anybody's going on a mission, this might be something they would think about, and if we go back, this is something we'll totally be prepared for. And I never processed or thought, but one of our other youth kids that went took a Polaroid camera that, like, spits out the picture instantly.
They still make those?
They still make those.
Okay.
They probably cost three times the amount they did when we had them, because now it's a retro vintage cool thing. And so, and the film's probably mega expensive, but bless the one of the youth's heart that went. She took that camera, and I wasn't thinking about that at the time, but a lot of the kids don't have phones or anything like our young people here, and so for them to get a picture, not only with one of us that had been there on the mission and themselves, but there were some in the orphanage, it's like sisters or brother and sister, and they, to get a picture of them together.
Oh, how sweet.
And they had a picture. And I remember asking one girl, like, "Oh, this is your sister?" And she said, "Yeah," so we talked about that. And this was the only picture they had of them together as sisters. And I thought, "Now, dude, this is super cool." One girl I saw had, like, this little, kind of like a plastic wallet that had sleeves, and she had been collecting Polaroid pictures, and some other missionaries had been super smart about it and had brought those as well, and she had a little book and she had her pictures in there. And I thought, yeah, when we go back, we're all having cameras, we're taking a lot of film, and we're taking little photo albums for them to collect their photos in, because they don't have that, and we just take for granted that you would have pictures.
We have an iPhone that can hold how many photos?
Yeah,
right.
Thousands of pictures.
Yeah, yes. But that picture, you know, that was something that was tangible.
You know, I mean, that was there that they could actually hold on to. So that did stand out. It was super neat. I will kind of hit on what Rance said. I went in uncertain on what to expect from the orphanage, but the kids, they were loved and taken care of, and they reciprocated that too. They loved us being there and wanted and loved the interaction, and we went with the intent to hang out, you know, to eat with them, to just sit and visit and play, and that was a big blessing. But I was, my heart was way at ease that these are God's children. You know, they're taken care of.
Yes.
Different levels of what we're used to, but God's providing, and these kids are loved and taken care of. So that made me feel a lot better on that aspect of it, you know, for sure.
So was there any opportunity during the time, because, you know, you went through training, we talked about training, and, you know, you used those training, I know, during the services, but was there any opportunity or times that while you guys were at the orphanage that any of that training might have come into play?
We offered to pray for the kids,
mm-hmm.
and we prayed for several kids, but
mm-hmm.
well, I mean, we got to use that at the orphanage, but it was more of they were just glad we were there to hang out with someone.
Just someone to
just
be
someone
with
to be
them.
With.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Someone to show them, give them a little attention and hang out with them.
Yeah, but we did get to pray for them both places before we left. And we got to give a gospel message while we were there, and they all responded good to that. And so, we definitely got to utilize some of the training that we got.
Yeah. Everywhere we went, we needed the training. We used the training.
Oh, thankful for the training. Even though it was weird and different, you were so glad you had it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that, you know, it was went with the intent. It was kind of a healing and speaking blessings over, you know, kind of the deal. And that training fed into everybody we met to and all the services. But, again, you know, we every night gets different. What this service is better than this one. This one's better than the other one. We had a, I don't know what that's about, revival outside type deal.
Yeah, we had outreach.
An outreach at a really rural, the most rural community that we went to, a little village that we went to.
And we can't take away from, sorry to interrupt your story, but when we got to use this training, it was for prophetic encouragement,
yes.
A prophetic word. But we also, like Gabe said, just didn't overcomplicate praying for people's healing, whether it be physical, spiritual, emotional, but we did see lots of physical healing.
Yeah, and that's where I was going with it. On top of, we were going to come back and hit the healing deal too. But, man, lots of salvations too. You know, that word was preached, and we saw people move on that, which is, you know, that's the number one. That's eternal healing. You know,
Exactly.
We saw God move on that 100%. And a funny little story, Kim and I got to do at that outreach, just a quick little message to the little kids, smaller kids. And we're like, oh, we'll play this game where we get five or six of them up there and give them a piece of bubble gum. And
well, actually, this is Pastor Mercer.
Well, I wasn't going to throw him underneath the bus.
I'd say right in there while driving over him.
And he said, this is a good game. So we're doing
and it will be. I'm going to use it at youth all the time.
but
and also,
so we have the other kids that were with us. We called little kids, said, hey, go get six kids from the crowd. And they're from six down to maybe three. And we've got six of them up there. And the object of the game is you give them a piece of bubble gum. And you count to three, and the first one to open it, chew it, and blow a bubble wins. And we had a $5 bill, to give to the winner. So Kim is, you know, we're doing this, and we're trying to encourage the kids. And it does take a little bit. We had wonderful translators. But you have to say so much, then you have to take a break. Let them say it. So we're doing this, and give the kids the gum, and we go, one, two, three, go. And these kids are chewing this gum. And chewing it and chewing it.
And if you can envision this,
Kim's up there holding the mic.
There's 200 plus people in the audience staring at us. And I have a microphone and I'm trying to lead the game. And I'm like, okay, chew and blow a bubble. And all I could see, and this is for the old people in the crowd, was Maggie Simpson. You know how she'll suck on her pacifier and they would just go. And just chew their gum and eyes huge and staring at me. And so then I was like, okay, time killer, what are we going to do? Okay, you're doing good, let's go. And anyhow, we ended up.
It was a huge flop.
It was
because
a flop.
We take for granted on our kids chewing gum. They didn't, none of them knew how to blow a bubble.
that's why I'm wondering if this story was going to. They're like, what's that mean?
Yeah.
Blow a bubble.
No, they didn't know how to blow a bubble. So.
They didn't. So they just looked at me and laughed and were going,
yeah, what do I do?
And then we were just like, so we had six kids. We had six kids, and we were going to give pair them off, face off, kind of, you know, kind of, so three groups, and we were going to give three kids a prize. And so it ended up, I just, on a leap of faith, said, everybody's a winner. And I just prayed. I mean, in
the
spirit.
Everybody gets money.
Gave them enough money to make it count. And he looked at me and with these wide eyes, and I'm like, make it work, buddy. And at any rate.
Go with the flow.
Praise God. He had the exact amount, of course.
It's that night of God, yeah.
And so... it was so good.
It was. So, again, more of the kid, funny kid stories. You know, you think, oh, you do this, but you take for granted that they even have gum to blow bubbles.
Yeah, everybody should know how to blow bubbles.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we did see a lot of physical healing,
yes,
which was mind-boggling, I think, for most of us. And I've processed that since we've been back, and we've talked it over and over and over with coffee and morning and night. But I think... you know, desperation is a different spirit shows up for you. And it's not, it's the same spirit. But because of what you need and the space you're in, you know, then your full reliance is on the Holy Spirit and what He can provide. So, you know, here I might say, hey, my knee's been hurting me. And you may say you're praying for me. But if it doesn't help, then I'm going to go to the doctor and figure something out. Or somebody is, you know. Most of us don't rely solely on the Lord healing that. And I think they're in a different situation for the most part over there. And so we prayed for healings, and we saw a lot of them.
We did. And the Bible tells, you know, said, you go out and heal. You know, Jesus told us to go do
that.
That's
right.
And gave us the power to go do that. Society and uncertainty and all this has taken that, you know, it's kind of gone to the wayside on that. But having the training and the eye opening on that and actually watching that happen and getting experience with the kids and all three kids, they need to speak up on, we saw it. I mean, we saw different levels of it, and without a doubt.
I'd love for Ryder, share that story that you and I prayed for the mom and the little boy that's maybe four years old came up.
Yeah, it was the last night in last service or whatever, and there was a mom and a little boy that came up. And the little boy could, like, barely walk because his hip was hurting him or whatever. And prayed for him two, three times. And we couldn't really tell much. And he was just, he never really said anything. They went back up, said thank you or whatever. And 5-10 minutes later, I, like, was telling Mom, I was like, look up there. And the little kid was, like, running around playing with his friends.
Oh, awesome.
Like, no gimp, no limp, no. It didn't look like anything was wrong with him. And, you know, that was just. That was a crazy one for me because, you know, as bad as it sounds, sometimes you just always, I mean, even for our own selves, for an adult, you're like skeptical in some of that. And that if an adult said, oh, yeah, this was hurting, but now it's not, but there's no, like, physical proof.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah, and this little kid, a 4-year-old kid wouldn't think to lie about something like that, and obviously he didn't come up pretending. And then to just see, look up there for Ryder and I to see just sheer joy and laughing and running on his, you know, running around and joy on his face, there was no doubt that that little boy's hip got completely healed. And so,
what about you, Braxton and Rance? Did you guys experience a time that you were able to see God move that way in people that you prayed for?
I did, for sure. It was actually the day that we had the outreach thing outside, and me and Ryder ended up together, like, paired together to pray for people. And the one that really, like, stuck out to me the most was this lady, probably in her 50s or 60s or so. She came up, and she had two people helping her walk up there because she couldn't walk on her own. And she told us, like, her knees had really been hurting, and she wanted to pray for that. So we prayed couple times, and well, after the first time she said it was a little bit better, and so we prayed a couple more, and after the third time she we told her to walk around and see if it's any better, and then she did start walking. She didn't have any help, she didn't limp at all, and she basically was just running around after that, and she went back to her seat and didn't have any help, and we saw her walking out after it was over, and, I mean, no limp or anything, so.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Mine was kind of like Braxton's. I mean, on like the second to last day, we prayed for a lady that just stuck out to me. She had like fallen or something in the morning and got a blood clot in her knee or hurt her knee or something, and it was hurting her to walk or whatever. We prayed once. She said, it feels a little bit better, so we prayed again, and she moved it, and she just like was so surprised, and she started like dancing and jumping, and she was just shocked that her leg felt better, and that was really cool to be able to see her with that was
to
joy.
See that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the physical healing things was, that was probably the craziest to me, because like Mom said, you know, you don't want to, but you just start thinking, well, they're just saying that they feel better because, you know, they don't want to make you feel bad or anything, but seeing the physical things, like, literally get healed, like, that's miracles that you read about in the Bible, and that just sounds like stories, but that it really happens is really cool.
And we saw that every night.
Yes.
Because there were 19 of us, so we broke up in roughly two American and one of the interpreters, which all were from El Salvador. And so we had two or three in a group, you know, and so there were 10 groups, let's say. And so you would pray for five or six, seven, maybe more people a night or around there as they would come up. And inevitably, in the group, we all saw things, or people let us know how much better they felt, but somebody in that group, at least one person, but most of the time more, actually saw some kind of physical transformation, kind of healing.
Yeah, and like you want to believe, like sometimes I was like, oh, they're just saying that because you prayed and they just are ready to go sit down. But if that lady's leg was hurting, I don't think she'd jump up and down because she wanted us to believe if it wasn't actually healed. I don't think she would dance and jump up and down just because.
Yeah.
So that's what, I mean, that kind of little reassurance.
Made it real.
These people aren't making this up.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things when I was talking to the Mercers is when Blaze prayed for somebody, when they were healed, Blaze was surprised and his eyes got really big, like, oh my gosh, this does work. Now, if we're real with ourselves, sometimes I think we probably do that. You're like, oh wow, God is real. But even though we know God is real, do you think that maybe you guys might have had a little bit of that too? Like once you saw the healing, so like, oh wow, God is awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, you don't want to just be like, oh, I didn't think that was going to work. Like, we did not think you were going to get healed. So you just try to.
We were just doing it because they said it.
Keep your composure a little bit. So you get back to the hotel and you're like, did you guys see that guy's leg just grew? But, I mean, yeah, it was definitely like, you know, around here you pray for more of like a, oh, you know, we need some help with money, or we don't have this, or we just, our car just got totaled or something and we need the money to repair it. But you don't see physical healing as much as we did down there. So it was honestly a big surprise, but keep your composure. Act like, oh, I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. I know my God.
That's right. How about you, Ryder?
Yeah, kind of the same deal. It was kind of like, then you were kind of just more like, okay, yeah, we can try it or whatever. But I felt like, me personally, I feel like it was just, you had to be like a certain person. Only certain people could, like, do that. Like, if you were more, like, read your Bible every day, like, more closer to Him. And then, like, when you see kids go out there that never, I mean, do much. I mean, they do some of that, but not every day.
Not like a preacher does.
Yeah, and see them do just the same thing that a preacher does. It's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
It reiterated, and like Kim said earlier, you think about the trip more and more, you know, and it was just at one after another, you know, you're doing this, and it's not just one or two. You're praying for 60, 70 people a night, you know, and you truly are seeing, and Kim had said it's a different, you know, this is their only, you know, they're at a certain point of, I don't want to say desperation, but it reminds me of, and it has made me try to get better at, they were truly giving everything to God. And so, when I step back and look at how many ways God's worked in my life, and the biggest ones were the ones where I was completely done. Say, God, I'm asking for this, but I'm still going ahead and doing my own thing. But the stuff that I truly gave over to the Lord and be like, hey, the only way this is going to get better is that I completely surrender it to the Lord. And these people did that. And it re-encouraged me on...
Well, they can't run down to their local doctor.
Right. But, you know, on so many things, you know, on the... just on so, if it's not physical healing, but so many things, if you truly surrender it to the Lord, then He's, you know, He's going to move anyway. But certainly when you're more in tune to seeing that.
And I would say, we love our medical field, and yeah, praise God for them, but I would encourage people in America, if you got something ailing you, maybe just let somebody pray over you a time or two or three times before you just go drop all the money at the insurance, because I think God wants to heal you.
Absolutely, because Wally said that. It's like, yeah, we say, oh, I'm going to pray healing over you, but your doctor's appointment's tomorrow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, on that. And so where glory, you know, where you know, and great, and then in 2 weeks later they're feeling better, well, we, you know, might attribute that to the doctor's appointment and not necessarily the prayer that was prayed over before or during. Wow. So,
And like you said, we're not advocating not go to the doctor.
No, but
we're saying that, you know, God can
He's the ultimate physician.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It was a good reminder even for me. I mean, I know through the years I've told my kids, and they were like, what? And I'm like, yeah, they would get sick. And when they would go to bed, I would just go in their room and put hands on them and pray and see what God would do. And He, of course, always did what He does. And so, you know, it's just a good reminder for, obviously, there are times that we're going to go to the doctor. No problems with that. And definitely do that because God's providing that as well here. But just start with the easiest thing. And it doesn't have to be a super long, crazy prayer, just like, Lord, take away this sickness, all pain, leave my body in Jesus' name, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so it can just be that simple.
It is that simple.
It's that simple. We make it hard.
We do.
I do feel like people down there were different. Like, it's kind of hard to, I don't really know how to say it, but people here, I feel like you pray for them if, like, they need healing or whatever, and they're just like, okay, yeah, thanks, like, one time or whatever, and it almost seems, like, kind of awkward. But then down there, like, you pray for them, and they don't feel better, and they just keep asking you to pray again and again.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like it's almost like they have the faith that they believe that it could actually happen. I think here they're just kind of like, I mean, it could, but I don't really think that's, or like here they don't come and ask for it. Like down there, that's what they would come up to you.
Yeah.
And excited that you could tell that they were excited when we walk into the church.
Yeah.
That maybe they could get healed or whatever. Here they're just kind of like, you need to go up to them and steal. They're kind of awkward about it and almost like don't believe, kind of.
So whenever, because you're talking about the difference in when you're in El Salvador and when you're here, whenever the people actually came to you and asked you to pray, how did that make you feel? Because different, you know, like what you were saying, Rance, that people don't come and ask to be prayed for. So what was that like for you guys to have people to come and say, please pray for me, I need this, I need God to move in my life?
I think it's kind of like, made you a little bit more confident because they were thinking, like, they trusted you, they could come up to you. But in the same breath, it was also put, like, a little more pressure because they were, like, they're coming to you and kind of depending on you. So, like, trying to find the right words to say or whatever feels like, dude, these people are depending on me. I got to find the right stuff to say. But it was also, like I said, made you more confident when they would come up to you and trust you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we all witness this, and certainly the boys, and certainly me, because I stumble around with finding the right words. And just, it shortly came knowing, I can't do this, God. You can do this, and I will be the vessel, you know, that will pour over. But I can't do this. I don't have the words. And we all of us had that conversation on just be willing to say what He's speaking to you.
Open your mouth, buddy.
And it was, I certainly, that opportunity presented itself, you know, on that. So felt really humbled that they were willing to come up, and then felt in a really good place with God. I'm like, okay, I'm here. You just pour into me what I need to pour out to them.
And that's good. And, you know, and by making it simple and only saying what God says, it takes you out of the equation.
You better believe it.
You don't have to come up with something.
And that's, you know, that we do the debriefing and talking about it. And, of course, boys have questions. And it's like, well, I don't know. You know, I said this and this. Kim's like, you could have sang the alphabet,
yeah,
but God's speaking to those people.
That's right.
What they're needing to hear. A quick little story, and I don't know where we are on time, but
yeah, because I have one I have to share too.
Okay,
that's all right. We'll get it in. Let's do it.
We had another awesome service. I don't even remember what day it was. I think it was actually Sunday morning.
Day 99.
Yeah, and we had wonderful interpreters. They were a wonderful blessing on that deal, and we had. One of them, his name was Oscar, and we were praying for a man And he was just wanting some physical, emotional healing on that deal. So I don't remember who I was with. But anyway. Okay. And then Kelly said something, and then their translator translated it. And then the translator said, hey, if it's okay, I've got something I'd like to, you know, say to him. So, of course, he speaks over this man and he starts weeping. And the
in
man,
Spanish.
Yes. He's speaking to this man in Spanish. And our interpreter's weeping and the man's weeping. And you could just, I don't understand Spanish, but you could know that it was coming from
powerful.
The Lord. Yes, it was very powerful on that deal. And they were moving. You know, I mean, all the prayers were through the interpreters. I was nervous that it would get lost in translation, you know, on that deal, but it was not. Again, that goes to God putting the words in everybody's mouth. But Oscar, the translator, he finished his deal, and then I felt the need that I needed to pray for the man on that deal, and a word had come to me. And it was great. And we walked on, and the service was over, and Oscar came up to me, the interpreter, and he's like, hey, do you speak Spanish? And I'm like, no, don't, other than just a few words. And he said, well, I'll tell you how big of a blessing you were to me, on because we all get uncertainty. Are we truly hearing what God's saying, what God's telling us, or are we kind of throwing our own words in there? And he said, well, the reason I'm asking is, you, after I got done praying for that man, you started praying for him, and he said, it was almost word for word exactly what I just told that man.
Oh, wow.
So it was affirmation for Oscar, the interpreter. I'm like, yes, this is what God wanted this man to hear. So you don't make that stuff. You know, there's no, we weren't making that or getting that in the way and knowing that. And that's just one of the, I can quickly forget that one and go to another one. I mean, it just was unbelievable. That,
and you guys really, I mean, write it down so you can remember it. Because
I know we
how many times do we forget the little things that God does just in our own lives? But but anyway, Ken, you had a story?
Well,
were you done? I'm sorry,
yes,
Gage.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, and like what Gage was saying, one of the cool things is that how much the Lord ministered to everybody in the group.
Yep.
So the person that we're praying for obviously got ministered or healed or whatever they needed. But then the interpreter many times would get ministered to by the Lord. And then I or whoever the other people, so everyone in the group got ministered to. Like Gage was saying, you know, that ministered to Oscar, the interpreter to him, and then to the person that they prayed over. So we had a story like that that I definitely got ministered to, and I know it was just the Lord letting me know, like, hey. So we prayed for, we broke up in groups, and Braxton and I ended up in a group one evening, and we were praying over a lady, or we were praying over some people, and then a specific lady came over. Her name was Dina, and so we prayed a prayer, and I felt like when we got done, there just was something not yet, that she hadn't asked for prayer. So I said, hey, is there anything else we can pray for you, anything at all? And, you know, I could tell sadness was on her, and she said, no, no, with a little bit of tears in her eyes. So she went back to her seat. So we began, we kept ministering and praying to people. And in between every person, I would look out there. And I had told Braxton and I told our interpreter that if that lady makes eye contact with me, because there's probably 150 people, I don't know. But she's out there a good ways. And so I had said to Braxton and our interpreter, hey, if that lady makes eye contact with me, I'm out of here. I'm going to go out there and pray for her. I'm just waiting for the confirmation, you know, that to move. And so she never looked up, never looked up. We'd pray for another person. I'd look out there, never looked up. So we went through about two or three people. And after we had prayed for somebody, I looked up, and I don't know where Ryder was in our big line, but Ryder had left wherever he was. And he was out there praying over that lady of all the people in the whole group. Like, we weren't moving out in the crowd. We were just at the front, and people were coming up. But Ryder was out there praying over her. And so I got all excited, and I told Braxton, I was like, oh, my gosh, Ryder's out there, and he's praying over Dina. And so we just, you know, praised God in our own little group for that. And then later that evening, I was like, Ryder, I need you to tell me about that. What did you tell me?
Really remember what I told you.
I mean, really, I said, what made you do that? Like, why would you go out in the group? I hadn't seen him ever, nobody do that yet. And he said, I don't know. I just felt like the Lord was telling me to go pray for her. And I thought, that was insane to me. But it ministered to me that, you know, when I didn't move, and I had a burden for the lady, but I didn't move, God's going to use somebody, and God used my son, and he moved out there through all those people on the opposite side of the building, way in the back. And I thought, you know, God, you just do, he just does it every time. And I got to see it, and I got to see my own, one of my own kids. I mean, like, I know they all heard from God while we were there over and over. It was so evident in what was happening.
I think she ended up saying she had like 7 kids and she didn't have enough money to...
Yeah, she had 4 kids and she didn't have enough money to... Yeah, had financial problems.
Mm. So it was just... That was just something that just really blessed a mama's heart.
Oh,
I know that I could see all 3 of my kids hear and move. Hear and move. I mean, sometimes we hear and we don't move. But they heard and they all moved all week.
And you said it blessed a mama's heart, but I know even as a father, when you see your children, you know, hearing from the Lord and, you know, seeing them do those things, how that must make you feel as a father, because, you know, moms, you know, but dads are like, okay, you know, that's on me. I need to make sure that they know who God is.
It is, and I told the boys this the first night. You know, I'm nervous and I'm scared, you know, after training, and you just jump into this. But I can honestly say, if God hadn't put my boys there to be with me in that first night, that's a different type of boldness. Because how can I expect them to do that if I'm not going to be bold and speak, you know, over
right,
these people. And I wouldn't have been as bold if I'm with somebody, or it'd been slower coming around, you know, on that deal. But because the kids are there, that nudged me to be bold, and then, you know, I hope that it reciprocated them, like, okay, he's doing this, it's okay for me to step into this role and speak what God wanted to hear.
I just get tickled, because after that night, that was one of the first nights, and all of the things that we're telling you happened, and Gage said that, and afterwards, so we're having a debriefing, and we're like, so what did everybody think? Because it was just so wild, and Rance cracked me up, and it was so phenomenal. He was like, dude, I held a grown man's feet tonight. And what'd you say?
That's literally what I said. I had to hold like this
prayed.
40, 50-year-old man's legs or something and pray for him, because one was shorter than the other and it was like hurting his back. And his leg did grow.
And it grew right before your very eyes.
Felt it straight down.
That's the hardest thing, though, is like as a kid praying for a grown man, because, you know, lots of times you get it mixed up, like it's the other way around. Like, well, they're older, they know more, they're going to talk to you about it. And whenever a grown man comes up to you, you're like, what do you tell a 40-year-old man? I mean, he's been there, done this. I don't know what to say to him, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I bet it was a blessing to him, too.
And, you know, with Rance saying that, this is something that I think we're going to focus on in youth coming our fall semester. I think we forget that most, not all, but a lot of the people in the Bible were young teenagers. You know, the disciples.
Yes.
Most all of the disciples were teenagers. That's, you know, like, they're the 12 people that hang out with Jesus, and they're young people, 19 and down. I'm reading in Jeremiah right now, one of the major prophets, and he's a 13-year-old dude. And the Lord's speaking to him to speak to nations of people. And so I think we have to readjust our mind that, like Rance said, we put it on older people. But the Lord is clear in his word. Many people that he used and spoke through and to speak through were young people.
That's right.
And of course we know faith like a child. I mean, we know that the Bible says, you know, to have the heart and the faith of a young person, because they're just less calloused than we are. But we're going to point out the young people in the Bible as we go in the fall semester, because it's chock full of those kids.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Well, you guys, we actually have run out of time. We could probably keep going for on and on, because what an amazing thing that God has done. So would you recommend a mission trip to any of our listeners? Just shout it out.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Would you go back and do it again?
Absolutely.
Yes. That's the plan.
That's the plan. So everybody is it's a unanimous vote here, and so we're all going to go back and we're going to missions. But one thing, and this is one thing I'm thankful for, we can also minister right where we're at here in Texas, in Wheeler, Texas, and we want to encourage our listeners, you can minister right where you're at. It doesn't have to be in El Salvador, although that's great, or wherever that is. Just wherever you're at and whatever you do, love on people and pray for them. And we just want to say good night, everybody,
And we appreciate you coming and listening, and we appreciate the Angelus sharing their experience with us. And we will be back next week.